One of the great blessings of being the pastor of a transformational church is seeing people like Wan Lepa start to come alive with the power of God. Since she's been applying the Luke 10 transformation principles in her witnessing, she's led over 300 people to Jesus.
As she received the cookies and as they blessed her with something tangible, the walls just came down.
I'm a minister in my estate, and I would pray for my estate every day, and I believe this prayer will bring changes to the whole place where I live.
Folks, welcome to week 5 in the School of Tyrannus. The subject is prayer evangelism as a family lifestyle. So before I introduce the panel, let me give you something to pick you up. In the book Prayer Evangelism, chapter 1, the title is What the Devil Doesn't Want You to Know. You know what the devil doesn't want you to know? That he's a loser. And there I tell the story when I felt so overwhelmed, maybe the way you feel today, tempted to quit. And then the Lord brought to my mind that scene from the movie Rocky. Rocky 2, I believe it is. And in that movie, you know, Rocky's down and so is the other guy, Apollos, and they are both down and the referee begins the count with two boxers down. But Rocky's feisty manager, Mickey, comes up and begins to shout in his ear, "Get up! Get up! Get up, you bum!" And Rocky begins to register and little by little begins to get up. "Get up, you bum!" And eventually he makes it, barely, when the referee counts 10. And he wins because he got up. I'll tell you, as we begin, and before I turn it over to Chuck, the Lord is telling you, if you are down, get up. Get up, you blessed one. Get up, because this is week 5 of the School of Tyrannus. Chuck.
Oh, my, we have a great program today. If you are discouraged, just hang in there, because a lot is coming at you today. Your assignment was, of course, to read chapter 2 in prayer evangelism. Now I think we should go back and read chapter 1, but also to watch mentoring session 6 on personal prayer evangelism. And let's go. Jill, let's have some news.
Well, greetings to you all. I'm going to be bringing you news from Uganda about the president himself.
And Benji has a report from the Youth and Family Track.
I'm excited to share 2 examples of families that are implementing what you're going to hear in today's teaching. So stay tuned.
And everything has to do with the ecclesia. Remember, we used the word ecclesia to describe the church. The church as it is seen in the book of Acts. Well, there are 4 levels where Christians can find themselves in the marketplace, as part of the ecclesia. Number 1, bottom level, you don't want to go there, believers who are barely surviving in the marketplace. I mean, on Sundays, they are all pumped up. Mondays, they begin to lose air. On Tuesday, more. Comes Friday, they are deflated. Saturday, it's just in the ICU, Sunday they are pumped up back again, and Monday back there. That is not the will of God. Get up, you blessed one. Now, the next level up is Christians who apply biblical principles in the marketplace. And we are all for it. The problem is that many, many Christians apply biblical principles in the marketplace for the marketplace not to change them, rather than applying principles to change the marketplace. This is what the ecclesia does. You see, leaven, yeast, light, heat, all the things, a river, everything that has to do with the kingdom of God transforms the environment. So if you play for a draw in every game, you never win the championship. So that's a good beginning. But during this session and the following ones, we are talking about 2 higher levels. Level 3, Christians who do business in the power and in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Where? in the marketplace. And in my book, Transformation, I tell the story of a lady who all of a sudden she realized, I am a marketplace minister. When I go to work, I'm taking the power and the presence of God. Basically, she was saying, I am the ecclesia. She heard from God about a very shady deal that was made. And you have to read it in Transformation. But it's fascinating how God, through the Holy Spirit, indwelling this lady, revealed to her how somebody was cheating on her and cheating on her company. And because she was doing business in the fullness and in the power of the Holy Spirit, the scheme was exposed, the company made incredible progress, and she got a promotion. Can it get any better than that? Yes. Level 4. Remember, level 1? Christians who are barely surviving. Level 2, Christians who apply biblical principles. But level 3 is they do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And now moving to the penthouse of transformation. Christians who bring transformation to the marketplace. They go there believing that we are going to see the world transformed. And that's why in that context, it's so important to understand, and Chuck reminded us that chapter 2 in prayer evangelism is the key. And it's to understand there, what is prayer evangelism? To put it in context, because next week we're going to talk in greater detail, there are 4 steps to prayer evangelism, as explained in Prayer Evangelism, the book by the same name, and taken from Luke chapter 10. Number 1, we must bless the lost. Bless them. Jesus says, whatever house you're about to enter, first say, peace be to this house. And remember, Jesus said, you are lambs, they are wolves. I mean, you don't like them, but you bless them. Say peace upon them. Step number 2, fellowship with them. It says, stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you. But that means you eat with them and let them pay for it. What do I mean by that? I mean that you have to play visitor. Okay, the world will not come into the ecclesia. The ecclesia must go into the world. And then step number 3, now that you bless them, you see, when you begin to bless them, the first person that is transformed is you. Now that you have been transformed, you have Christ's attitude, you can fellowship with them. When you fellowship with them, Jesus says, heal those that are sick. And what that means is any problem they have, you be part of the solution. Minister to them. So bless, fellowship, minister. And once you do 1, 2, and 3, you don't have to sweat it out. The kingdom of God has come to that house. Now proclaim, the kingdom of God has come, which means that the kingdom of darkness is gone. Which means, my friend, get up. Get up, you blessed one. Because if you get up, you win. And you know, Romans 8:19 says, for the entire creation eagerly awaits the manifestation of the children of God. The whole world is waiting for the ecclesia to check in. Now, why is it that they don't recognize us as the children of God? I think the clue, or one of the clues, is in Matthew 5:9. It says, they are blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? Children of God. So we need to go to a hurting world with a solution. We need to go to people that are ostracized and tell them, you are welcome. That is the essence of prayer evangelism. And before I turn it over to Chuck, who will begin a string, a cascade of powerful testimonies, let me remind you that in Prayer Evangelism, chapter 4, I explain the truth about binary truth. These are truths that are presented in tandem in the Bible. You know, it says in John chapter 1, verse 25, describing the Lord Jesus, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That means that when sinners look at Jesus, they saw grace. And grace to a sinner is a huge welcome sign. Welcome sign. And once we run to him, the truth that he will impart to us will set us free. So this is the key to transformation in the family, which is our subject today. And prayer evangelism as a lifestyle. We need to understand that we must lead with grace. If we lead with truth, with judgment, we're going to get in trouble. You see, the order of the factors in an equation is as important as the factors themselves. If you want to have a very satisfying horse riding experience, you need three things. You need a horse, you need a rider, and most important, you need to know which one goes on top. Because you may have all the components and be totally frustrated carrying a horse on your back. And this is the power behind the ecclesia. We lead with grace, and truth follows, and the power of God is released. Chuck, all yours.
Wow, I want to share with you an example of just what Ed was teaching about, extending grace. Sandy and I, before we had our own children, we had a habit of adopting the children in our neighborhood. And one day they came over to some of the kids came over to swim in the community pool there. And we were with them, and suddenly a car full of guys came up, rough-looking characters. You could call them wolves, for sure. They piled out of the car. They were part of a white supremacist Nazi skinhead gang. And they started to call this kid out, one of our kids that we'd adopted, his 12-year-old boy, to call him out of the pool because evidently he had hit one of their little brothers. He had punched him out, they said, and they were going to get him. Well, they came into the pool area, and I began speaking peace and blessing, of course, praying too. But I sensed a spiritual climate change as I did that. The fear that I had went away, and I stood up to the leader, and I said, you know, maybe you ought to think about an alternative to your plan. Well, he wasn't in the negotiating mood. He didn't come to negotiate. Immediately, he kicked as hard as he could, and I saw his foot come up right to my face and hit an invisible wall. And he was stunned. He didn't know what happened. But suddenly peace came over the whole place. And now I was wanting to go the second step, fellowship. But they weren't ready for that. But they were stunned. And they turned around and walked peacefully out of the pool. And that's the power of the first step of prayer evangelism. Speaking peace opens up the fellowship. We can see this kind of hostile environment change just like that. When we take authority, when we hit Mike Tyson, as Ed Solosa says, we hit Mike Tyson, he falls to our surprise. Why? Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Now, I've got lots more testimonies and a lot coming from you, the participants of TSOT. Keep giving us your posts, and we're going to share your testimony as well. So receive the impartation of prayer evangelism. Receive the impartation that you can change the world. And get up. Get up, blessed one, and go for it, okay? Now let's hear from Jill, Transformation News.
Well, this is also playing itself out in Uganda, where as intercessors gather together to pray for and to bless and to speak peace over the nation, the president himself dedicated himself and his entire family to the Lord. And not only that, he ended up encouraging and challenging men and families from all over the nation to do the same thing. That is transformational news.
That is a change. Wow. And Benji from the family track.
You know, transformation is something that we should practice together as a family, and it is a process. And recently I was talking with a friend of mine who relayed this story of him being just a normal dad on a Saturday and was doing a good thing to bless his wife, which was to clean his garage. And he found himself out on the driveway. And while he was out there with his two young sons, all of a sudden, from across the street, a wild pit bull, which is a very scary dog, came running and charging at his youngest son. And so he did what any good dad would do. He got in the way of that dog and was protecting his son while calling to his wife to come and retrieve the boys and protect them. And he's kind of standing there while the dog is approaching. And finally, at the last moment, he saw the owner coming up, and the owner is saying to him, "Don't worry, it's not going to bite you." And he's like, "Well, I don't know that, and I want to make sure that it doesn't." And he, of course, is quietly praying for survival and blessing this person. But what was a real antagonistic situation, the peace of God came in as our friend just began to speak peace to this person and to this situation. At the last moment, the owner of the dog grabbed the dog and kind of abruptly walked away. Well, our friend felt like that this situation could build a barrier between them. And because he is a kingdom person, and because he has actively adopted his street and his neighborhood and practicing these principles, he said, "I'm going to be proactive and I'm going to do something very tangible to bless." The other thing you need to know about this story is that this particular neighbor, our friend had actually been warned about this neighbor's house and said, "You don't want to go over there. There's all kinds of trouble. And I know you got little kids, and be careful. Don't get too close to them. There's all kinds of trouble that can happen there." Well, he took that under advisement, but also ignored that advice. And on that same day that the dog did not attack, he and his wife made up a batch of cookies. And together as a family, they went over to this person's house and blessed them with a batch of cookies. And he tells a story where he says, in that moment, as she received the cookies and as they blessed her with something tangible, the walls just came down. And it completely opened the door now to fellowship. You see, he blessed first. Now it's opened the door to fellowship. He's ministering to felt needs where she has felt rejected by other neighbors. Now they have embraced him. And now he's building relationship with their friends. So folks, these principles work. It's so powerful. The second story I want to tell you comes from our friends in Northern California. And this is the story of a couple that has begun their journey as a transformational family. And the lady, Leanne Hammond, would actively take her sons with her as she prayer walks her neighborhood. But she tells the story of prayer walking the neighborhood and saying, "Lord, use me to bring your kingdom to our sphere of influence." But she said something changed recently, and that change took place in her mind, where she began to see her sons, her children, as arrows in their quiver, and that the purpose of them is to be released. And she said, "Our prayers have now changed. I still bring my kids with me as we prayer walk, but now I am praying, Lord, use us as a family." And you see the change there, from going with your kids but still praying for yourself to going with your kids and praying for us as a family. So folks, I challenge you to do the same. Integrate your kids, go with them, practice these principles together. You will be amazed at how fast your kids pick up the power of blessing and walk these principles out.
Well, I'll tell you, Benji, that is not just theory. That happens, right? Yeah. Well, we're going to roll a tape now about the family track at our conference in Hawaii, which, by the way, in 2014 happens on October the 27th through the 31st. Now, I want you to watch these children, mighty children, okay, whose parents, like Benji shared, you know, they are walking together, practicing prayer evangelism. Get ready to be blessed and to be inspired. And every time the kids say something to the audience, that goes for you.
And I would like to share a few familiar story with you tonight. It's the story of the young boy named Samuel, and he hears God's voice for the first time. This story can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel was a young boy and lived with the priest Eli in the temple. The Lord has already called Samuel two times, but Samuel does not know it. We pick up in the story at verse 8, where it says, "So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. 'Here I am.' And Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. Some of our young people here tonight will share testimonies of how they have heard God's voice. Thank you.
I'm going to tell you about a time that I've heard God's voice in my life. So a verse I've always held very close to me is 2 Timothy 1:7, which says that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and of self-discipline. A time that God used this in my life was last summer at a school Christian retreat. We were sitting at a campfire, and there was worship music playing, and everybody was praising God. And I saw one girl who I knew pretty well, and I saw that she was sitting there, and she looked uncertain, as if who to talk to about what God had done in her heart that night. And I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to go and talk to her and ask her if she needed prayer in any way. And at first I thought, God, is this you or is it just me? But I felt very sure that it was God speaking to me. And so I thought, I will not walk in timidity, but in the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. So I went to her, and we prayed together, and that night she renewed her relationship with the Lord. So what I encourage you all to do is when God speaks to you, even if it seems unusual or out of your comfort zone, if it really is God, then he has it aligned in his perfect will, and he knows exactly what he wants you to do. He just needs you to do it. Thank you.
Hi everyone, I'm Mia, and I just want to tell you a little bit about what I've learned this week and how it's impacted me. So, this week we're learning about hearing God's voice, and before this week I was really nervous when I tried to listen to God's voice because I wasn't really used to it. But then we did these exercises where we would listen to God's voice, and those really helped me. And the next day, God told me, this is for all of us, to be bold times 10, meaning more than ever. So, I think this is really special because God wants us to be bold when we share our faith with people, and it's part of prayer evangelism to share our faith with people. And so anyway, I'm really grateful to God for helping me overcome my nervousness and giving me the tool of speaking to him. And I'm really glad that I learned that this week. Thanks.
We gotta move her over. She's too beautiful to hide behind the pulpit here. All right.
Hello, everyone. This week we've been learning about listening to God's voice, and also I've been focusing on praying. And so tonight, this evening, we bought this dress, and the lady who sold it to us, we asked her if she needed some prayer, and she was a bit surprised, but but she said yes, and she wanted healing from a disease that she thinks that she might have. So so we prayed for her, and we felt really, really good about that. And so we felt really good about that, and because she thinks she's been hearing God's voice, and we tell her that she has.
Okay, I'm the kind of guy that would try to understand everything. And with God, that's a lot harder. And so, like, when I try to understand everything about God, like, why did he do this, or why did this happen to that person, it's when I fail at that, when I'm no good at that, it kind of weakens my faith and slowly, slowly makes God seem unreal just because I can't understand him. And so before the conference started, I was out in the ocean, and I was praying about this with God, and he told me that he's not a God to completely understand. He's a God that to trust. And so what I learned from this is that, like, when I try to understand God and I fail at it, I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm supposed to trust God with everything, and that's kind of helping me to understand what people will say when they say, give God everything, give God your life. And I never really knew what that meant, but I was like, give God your life is just trusting God with everything. And when things go wrong, just trust God, and it'll work out. And so that's a big milestone in my little journey to sonship. So thank you.
Hello, my name is Emily. This morning during our quiet time, Benji encouraged us to see what God wanted to say to us. And I felt like God was telling me to look at Psalm 119. So when I read it through, verse 2 really stood out for me. And it says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with all their heart. When I read this, I really felt like God was saying that if we have faith in him and follow him truly from our hearts, then we will be blessed and God will do good things through us and in us.
Hi. So earlier this summer, I didn't feel as close to God as I had been in years past, and I didn't like that at all. And I felt like my heart was just stony, and I couldn't honestly thank the Lord for this day, and I couldn't honestly pray to him because it didn't feel sincere. And so I was like, this needs to change. And so I wrote down a prayer, and I asked God that he would soften my heart and that he would make my relationship as intimate with him as it once was. And so the next day at nighttime, I was doing the dishes by myself in the kitchen, and all my family was already asleep, but I was doing the dishes, and I was kind of singing to myself, and then I started to get like a worship song in my head. So I was like singing the worship song quietly because everyone was asleep, and then as I was doing that, like about 5 minutes later, I started singing a prayer to the tune of the song. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so I was singing the prayer, and then slowly I felt the Holy Spirit rush through me so strongly, more than I ever have before. And I started singing in tongues, things I didn't even know what they meant, but I was just singing in them. And the entire room was filled with so much of the presence of God that at times I had to get down on my knees and bow as low as I could because that's how strong it was. And it lasted, like, I was doing that for like an hour alone, like 11 o'clock at night by myself. And the day before I had thought like, oh, the Lord will gradually like soften my heart and it'll take a long time. But it happened 1 hour the next day. So that was so much.
Hello, I would like to share a testimony with you about the time I heard the Lord speak to me and I obeyed. One day when I was in my room praying, the Holy Spirit prompted me to send a certain scripture verse to my grandpa, Ed Silvoso, who was out of town on a ministry trip. The exact verse didn't make much sense to me, but I obeyed and sent the text to him anyways. Within minutes, I received a text back from my grandpa saying that he was about to preach and that he was praying about what passage to preach from. And the text I sent him had one of the exact passages of the scripture he considered sharing from. He said that God used my obedience to send him that text to guide him as to what he was to preach on. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage us all to promptly obey when we hear the Holy Spirit speak to us, even if it doesn't mean complete sense. God's desire is to use us as his hands and feet, even if it's through a simple text message.
We have heard testimonies of young people hearing God's voice. Is that encouraging or what? Hallelujah. So now we're going to transition, and we're going to hear our two guest speakers this evening, and they're going to be sharing about overcoming some difficulties and some challenges. So would you give a rousing applause to our first preacher?
Hi, my name is Eden, and I'm 8 years old. For the past few years, I've been struggling with some fears, and this summer at the Transformation Family Camp, in the Holy Spirit showed me that it was time for me to get baptized. When I went under the water, the old Eden with the old fears was crucified with Christ, and when I came out of the water, I was the new Eden made alive in Christ. Okay. Something broke when I was baptized, and I have been set free from the fears that the old Eden struggled with, and I'm growing daily with in the power of Jesus Christ. After I was baptized, I didn't recognize the new me, so I told my parents I needed a new haircut so the others would not recognize me either. So I went and I got a new haircut as a prophetic act that is a new day and I'm a new creation.
I'm here to tell you that if God can help transform my mind, He can definitely transform yours. I was really struggling with a few things. Yes, at this age. And God was able to really change me. The words you need to be listening for are, "You can." When you realize you're a son and daughter of God, you grow firmer in your faith with God, and you realize that you are just so full of joy and you have the fruit of the Spirit and the armor of God to share with everyone. When you realize you have the power of God in you, your expectations are way higher, and you can and will meet those expectations and even go further than them with God's help. Wow. If you have any fear or anxiety or phobias or anything like that, then God can help you get through that just like He was able to help me get through mine.
Amen.
If you do have struggles, God will make you overcome them. Now I would like to share with you how God changed my life this summer. On Sunday nights, my family usually gathers to pray about the week. And during this last summer, on one of those nights, let's just say there were a few thorns in my flesh that were really bothering me. My mom suggested I get my Bible and read, and I read Romans 12, 1 through 2, which says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living and sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve God's will, His holy, pleasing, and perfect will." After that, I did feel better. So then our family prayed about the week. And so then after that, my mom suggested I get my Bible and read. And so I went to my bed, and I was like, I'll just pick a psalm. You know, psalms are good. And so this Psalm 29, and this verse, or chapter, ladies and gentlemen, was a life-changing verse for me, but especially these two verses, verse 9 and 11. Verse 9 says, "The voice of the Lord twists oaks and strips the forest bare. In His temple all cry glory." And then verse 11 says, The Lord gives strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace. And after that, it wasn't just something in my mind, but I felt the Holy Spirit rush from my head to my toes, and I felt like on the way out, it had grabbed everything that had been bothering me. That's not all. So I was praying to God and like, whoa, like what just happened? And I was like, God, what's happening here? And so I was, I sleep on a bunk bed, and I was just praying to God, and even though I couldn't see him, I was like, I could feel him there protecting me. And it wasn't just praying like a regular prayer, but it wasn't like God giving me my own special tongue. It was just like having a conversation with God. And as I said, I could like feel him there protecting me, and I could feel his presence in the room. So I went and told my mom and dad, and they were just totally happy and comforting. And so one minute. Oh, yeah. So, I'm sorry, I'm trying to think of it. Oh! So, I didn't know how to thank God, and the best way to put this in words is, I really can't. So, I know the same power that was there with me that night is here for all of us, available to all of us right now, this moment. And I know God will come to this room and he will transform all of your minds.
Are color coordinated. This is the Lord speaking to us, folks. How many are going to say yes to this challenge? So I want to ask all the kids to come on the platform. Ruth, would you join me here? And we're going to pray for the grown-ups. How many of you will love the Lord to touch you, set you free of whatever is holding you back? If you would like prayer, come forward right now. Come forward. Come forward. They said, God deliver me, God can deliver you. Hallelujah. Come forward. Come forward. Yes. Yes, if we can have the worship team there. This is so powerful. And I feel that some of you have buried hope, have buried your hope about your kids and grandkids walking with the Lord. Or if they are walking with the Lord to be on fire, God is speaking to you tonight. He's saying that your children and your grandchildren will rise up and they will call you blessed. Do you want that blessing? Okay? This is what the Lord is saying to you and to me today. I mean, some of you have been in so much pain for so long that you gave up hope. No! Tonight says, I'm getting a hold of hope. And if you are that person, raise your hand and say, yes, Lord, I'm grabbing hope. My family will come back. My children will live nearby. My grandkids will learn to play from me. Yes, grab hope. Grab hope. Because children will lead us. And so we are going to pray a prayer of impartation. Right? Do you have a prayer you're ready to pray, or do we all pray together? Okay, he's going to pray. He's going to climb the band. Okay. Get ready to receive. Come on.
Well, dear Lord, I thank you for such all these wonderful people, Lord, and I thank you for a wonderful week in Hawaii, Lord, and I thank you that you have given all these kids the opportunity to come minister to all these grown-ups, Lord. I ask that you would use us all to bless these people, Lord, and bring back their hope, Lord, that they would know Amen. That they are not forgotten by you, Lord, and I ask that you would just bring your healing hand upon us all right now, Lord, and that we would just understand you, Lord, and what you are trying to minister through all these people, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wow, what an impartation. I hope you have received everything that the Lord has released through you today. That is awesome. What a great illustration of something we always say, there is no junior Holy Spirit. Amen. I can hear you saying amen. Well, I want to invite every single person here to join us next year, this summer, at our Transformation Family Camp. What you have just witnessed on this video was all birthed out of our first annual camp that we hosted last summer. So join us this July 25th through 27th here in beautiful California. Come and make the trip, make the investment, and your kids will get on fire and learn to hear God's voice, and you will get to connect together as a family and connect with other families who are on this journey of being transformational. So join us at camp. All the information is there on our website, and you can see it there on our screen. What a blessed time this has been today. Chuck.
Well, and now I look forward to your story, to hearing your story as you post it in the forum, and as we can then tell your story as well. For next week, your assignment is to read chapter 3 in Prayer Evangelism and to watch mentoring session 7. The subject is how to change the spiritual climate over your family and beyond in the marketplace and in your city. God bless you.
Tremendous, right? I hope you have your seatbelts on because this boat is rocking.
Yeah.
Well, this has been wonderful. So, Chuck,
yes.
Do we have any questions, any comments?
Yes, we do have some questions. And also, I wanted to mention a couple of people comments, and then we have some questions. Ainsley Shepherd says that she's doing TESOT with her 13-year-old son, Ethan. And so I just want to say to you, Ethan, I'm glad you're here.
Yes.
And I hope you receive just a vision of what can be for you and all of your nation there in Australia.
Yes.
So we want to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
And also a comment, this presentation brings tears to my eyes, but also pain that my family is not there.
Mm-hmm.
But today I receive a new hope that things can change
in
my family.
Yes.
Well, what is important to understand is that that pain is pain on the way out.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
So hang on to hope.
Yes.
Do TESOT, come to the family camp or come to Hawaii or both, and the rest will happen.
Yes, it
so,
will.
So, any questions, Chuck?
Okay, yes, we've been receiving a couple of emails with questions, and one of them was that this person has read the syllabus and watched the mentoring session, they've seen how week 2, we're dealing with anger, and voiding jurisdiction of the enemies is really correlated to this session. But their question was, if they're still dealing with issues in the area of forgiveness, but they're working through it, is their speaking peace over others really genuine? And they've obviously got a real heart for this, so...
Well, you can answer the question by reversing the question. Will it be genuine not to speak peace?
Good.
You see,
good.
If you don't speak peace, you let darkness rule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So by speaking peace, we do it by faith, okay? We do it because it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that begins to change, like Benji was explaining. It changes us first.
Mm-hmm.
And then... it changes the other person. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pick up the trail and follow it.
Yeah.
I love that. It's kind of like you were mentioning in the mentoring session that, well, what if I pray? I get to the point in prayer evangelism where I'm blessed and then I fellowship and then I see a need and I pray. Well, what if God doesn't answer? And you say,
Well, if you don't pray, you already got the non-answer. And besides, people that are not religious, they are not troubled by God not answering because they don't have his email address, they don't have his phone number. So yes. I'll tell you, just us sending an email on their behalf to God, they are most appreciative of it. Okay?
Amen. Benji, you have right a question?
On. One of the questions was, you know, in the Bible it talks about train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. But I know in many families, as kids have gotten older, they have departed.
Yeah.
And so what is some input as we're receiving that impartation of hope today, but what are some points of input that you could give to people, particularly with maybe older teenagers that are really struggling, they're not walking in their destiny, any input or advice you could give to the parents as well as maybe to the kids?
Well, that scripture is relevant and is unshakable. If you train a child in the way that he should go when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, that doesn't mean that he may not take a break, okay, or do a slight detour.
Yeah.
But we have to have faith in the Word of God implanted in their hearts. But we have seen that derails the process often is the impatience of parents. You know, they were like, okay, I train you, you should behave. No, training means you teach, they try, they fail, you embrace them, you teach again, you wait. I mean, you bond with the player so that the player will listen to the coach. And it's very, very important to dispense grace rather than truth. You know, we were counseling a couple that actually it was in the context of that verse. They say, you know, we train our daughter and she really walk away. She's doing everything that is wrong plus. And so we finally settled for you to stay living under our roof. We ask you to do only one thing, and that is to do the dishes on Sunday night. And she will not even do that. What should we do? I said, you should do the dishes for her. At that moment, they always went through the roof. What do you mean by that? What will that teach my daughter that I do a task that she should be doing? What is the value of breaking a rule? Very simple, grace. You will teach your daughter that she's more important than that stupid sink full of dishes. That you're willing to go the extra mile and do it because you love her. And when you teach her grace, she will begin to listen because it's the heart of the parents that must turn toward the children. For the children that are looking someplace else to turn to the parents.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Well, that really underscores the personal transformation that must take place in parents. Just as in Benji's question, before you can bless a neighborhood, you have to be transformed and deal with your own anger and or in the be in the process of that. One final question. I've practiced prayer evangelism. I was in a previous session of the School of Transformation, and I practiced prayer evangelism, but I just have not yet been able to get to the last step of proclaiming the kingdom. I don't want to force it, but do you have any advice there?
Well, that's a very good question. The point is, you don't wait for the kingdom to come. Actually, you brought the kingdom when you change your attitude, you make right what was wrong, which was your attitude. You see, the wrong attitude and pride have something in common. Everybody notices it, except the one that has it. So it's like bad breath, okay? So then we change our attitude, then we reach out to people, we don't reject, we fellowship, we take care of them, and that moment, the kingdom has come. So if you do that right, people begin to wonder, why are you doing this? And that's why you said, because God's kingdom is here. So it's not leading them to the Lord, you know, in a hurry. It's telling them the kingdom is here. It's a bus. The door is open. Would you like to get in? There is air conditioning here. There's 105 degrees there. And it's going to get hotter if you make it to hell. So come on, hop on the bus.
That's good.
Oh, that's great.
So, Ed, what does it look like when in Luke 10 you talk about what Jesus says to shake when you leave a place and you shake the dust off your feet, as mentioned in Luke 10 in prayer evangelism. What does that really look like?
Well, that's a good question. And people use that to say, I tell you, the intent of Luke 10 is not to shake the dust of our feet, is to take the kingdom of God.
That's good.
When we have the wrong attitude, we are looking forward to that chance. Let me tell you, I already gave you love, you rejected it, I'm walking away. Well, we miss the point. You see, when you speak peace and it bounces, it comes back to you. Okay? Now, very regretfully, we should shake the dust, but not to send them to hell, but to move on to the next person that may be receptive. And that is the person that may come back and get that other person that rejected. You see, it's not over until it's over. And it's not over yet. Okay?
That's a great word to end on, actually, because see, whether it's your family issues you're dealing with or but the hope that you receive today is telling you it's not over until it's over. Yeah. Benji, before we go, you mentioned in the presentation that family camp was where all of this began. It began in a real new kind of a nucleus of what's happened. Definitely. Tell us about family camp.
Yeah, so we just really invite you to come and join us and bring your family. Grandparents, bring your children, your grandchildren. Parents, bring your children. Come together as a family. July 25th to 27th, we'll be here in the beautiful Redwood Mountains, Santa Cruz Mountains, here in California. And so we just really encourage you to come, sign up on the website, get your registration in. There's limited space available, but come and bring your family and come with that expectation that the Lord will change your kids and your family, and you'll go home just completely rocking. And we saw the seeds for what you saw in today's program were all put into the ground there at the family camp as we released the kids to minister. And I tell you, they ministered at the camp, and then they took it to a whole new level at the conference, and we're seeing it continue on and on. So it's really exciting. So come and be a part of that. Bring your family along and join this movement of seeing transformational families grow.
And one more thing, have the faith to buy a ticket, get on an airplane, come to Hawaii, call Carissa, go online, register, come to Hawaii, because that's where you're going to receive something that goes beyond your family and even to your whole city. And so we're going to trust God that you can do that. Well, Ed, any final words?
We tell everybody, lift up your hands unless you are driving.
Amen.
Okay, and let the Lord now pour His Holy Spirit upon you. If you have kids, claim them for the Lord. If you are single, there is a spouse coming in God's will, unless you have the gift of singleness, okay? So receive now in the name of Jesus. Yes. Be blessed and continue to take transformation to your family. Amen.
Amen. Amen.